Hey, Vodka Rocks. What do you say you and me get nipple to nipple?
The name is Dollar.
Gypsy woman told my mother, before I was born, she said, you got a boy child coming, ain't gonna be a son of a gun, gonna make pretty women jump and shout.
All right, welcome to Orphan Radio. This is Matt and Ricky. This is a very special episode. You might remember Ricky from some of our previous shows where he broke down some of his favorite movies, including Cobra, Over the Top, Commando, and tonight we're going to do another one, Roadhouse, which is also one of my favorites. So, Ricky, introduce yourself, and how's everything going in Kansas City?
Things are going well, Matt. Thank you for having me on the show again. Today we're talking about not only one of the best movies ever made and an all-time American classic, but it hits home. Jasper, Missouri is an hour away from my house, and to think that I didn't go down there the day I got my driver's license, something I've been waiting to do all of my life, is just, it was one of the greatest days ever to go to Jasper, Missouri. So anyway,
wait, you've actually been to the real town?
Hundreds of times.
Well, what's it like?
Believe me, like when I pull up, okay, into Jasper, Missouri, and I usually go, you know, straight, you know, to like, you know, things to do in Jasper, Missouri, I go to the Jasper Tavern. And every time they see me walk in, they're like, Jesus Christ, man. And because I'm always in there talking about, when are they going to get a cooler? And they're like, you know, we got a cooler. I'm like, no, I mean a cooler, like Dalton. And they're like, what are you talking about? I'm like, his name is Dalton. They just think I'm a weirdo. But anyway, yeah, Jasper, Missouri, my whole life growing up, we had to drive through Jasper to get to our cabin down at the lake. And so every time we drove by it, I was like, Daddy, stop. We're going through Jasper. And he's like, nope. So the day I turned 16, it was like, what are you doing, Rick? What are you going to do with your freedom? I was like, I'm going to Jasper, Missouri.
How many times do you think you've seen it? Mike and I were talking about this earlier.
I don't know. I mean, easily 500-600 times.
Do you put it in your top 10?
It's in my top 10. Let me take that back. I don't think I classify it in a top 10 because it's like a local, you know, it's like the local movie, you know. So I don't really categorize it. It's just something, it's part of growing up in Missouri, part of coming of age, you know.
It's in a league of its own.
It's in a league of its own. But, I mean, you know.
Do you remember the first time you saw it, where you were, and can you talk about that a little bit?
It was definitely Oak Park Plaza.
That's where my sister worked when it was showing there. Go ahead.
Yeah, it was definitely like one of those nights where my dad got home from work. It was Friday night, and he said, we're going to Roadhouse. And I, you know, of course, had seen the previews, and so it was a real special moment to see it in the theater opening night.
Didn't you say you and your dad saw like every Van Damme, every Seagal, every Stallone together?
Every Schwarzenegger, every Norris, every single one. But, you know, like I had, you know, a mom and three sisters. So it was like the guy's thing, had to get away and go feel like a man, you know, every once in a while. It's like important for my dad to make sure I grew up right.
Did you say Van Damme? Did you guys go see those?
Every one of them.
What do you think's your favorite out of those?
Out of Van Damme?
Yeah.
Well, it's hard to not understand that Bloodsport is one of the greatest movies of all time.
Right.
I can tell you this. In 2007, I was working at a fitness convention at the Orange County Convention Center out in L.A. And I was there, and I look over next to me, and who's there doing, you know, what, with their little event space, you know, doing an event? Frank Dukes.
No person. Way. Do you talk to him?
Of course. I was like, Frank! Frank, no! Frank.
What did you guys talk about?
Well, I called him over, and I was actually doing an event with the Army and a bunch of Special Forces dudes. So they were with me, and we were like, Frank. And immediately I started ripping into questions about the Kumite and all of his records and all that. And it turns out that he's a big fitness guy out in L.A., and he trains actors. Like, he works for all the movie studios and trains people how to do fight scenes and stuff. And he told me that the whole movie is 100% true. I was like, Frank, I'm not asking if it was 100% true. I just want to know what happened to the bad guy when you beat him. And he told me that he went back to his hometown, like his home island, and nobody ever heard from him again. Like,
he probably got killed.
Anyway, meeting Frank Dukes was one of the greatest days ever. I mean, not like meeting Vernon Wells, but it was pretty awesome. I got my picture with him somewhere. I need to find that.
Vernon Wells almost got a restraining order against you, right?
No, it's not true.
You did have a lengthy conversation over the course of a whole day with him, though.
Of course. After meeting Vernon Wells, one thing is definite. That, as far as like what's there left to do in life after meeting Vernon Wells, and that would be meeting him again.
What about you've never met Stallone, right?
I had a shot at it.
You were at a Monday Night Football thing, right?
Correct. Let me bring it. Yes, I was at when I was working for ESPN. I was there at a Monday Night ESPN football game in Philadelphia, right when the movie Rocky Balboa was like coming out. And so as a promotion, they had him come out on the field to flip the coin. I failed at that. But also, when I was in eighth grade, one of my best friend's dads was a Secret Service agent. Mm-hmm. And it was in charge of the President of the United States. At that time, it was George Bush. And so I got invited to go to the Republican National Convention in 1992 at the Astrodome. So I was down for Secret Service reasons. I won't mention his name. But anyway, we'll call him Dr. J or Mr. J. Mr. J arranged a meeting for his whole family and then me as a guest to meet the whole entire Bush family. And so the president was there, and we got like 5 minutes to meet the family, at the Astrodome.
This is George H.W.
Yeah, George H.W., but the whole family was there at the time, so I technically met two presidents. But he had gotten his special passes to go to NASA and do all this cool stuff. So he said to all of us, like, hey, is there anything I can do for you while you're in Houston? You just let me know. This is the president, And I said, well, actually, yeah. I noticed out there, they're like, walking around from our seats, I saw Schwarzenegger and Stallone out there. If you would be obliged to introduce us, it would be an honor, Mr. President. And everybody laughed. And I remember Mr. J's wife was real mad.
At you?
Oh, yeah. But now looking back on it, everybody laughed. Looking back on it, that was probably the icebreaker that made everybody, gave Mr. President Bush the, little icebreaker, a little laugh to go out there and give a speech,
I think I know who the person.
Solid for him,
Does this person who was in the Secret Service, was it a kid who you guys were in the Boy Scouts with?
Yep.
Okay, it's Tim. Okay, I know who you're talking about. Tim's told me about that before.
He let us shoot his Uzi.
Right, I remember hearing about that.
And Tim went open fire, fully automatic.
Okay, should we get back to Roadhouse?
Sure.
Okay, you jump into it. What do you want to talk about?
Well, I mean, first of all, let's just talk about Dalton, Patrick Swayze. It's probably, when you look at Swayze movies, you have Roadhouse, Point Break, Next of Kin, and Black Dog.
You're forgetting a couple.
Well, of course I'm forgetting a couple, but
Outsiders and Youngblood.
Outsiders and Youngblood. Well, let's not forget Red Dawn, I'm just saying my top movies,
Go ahead. Yeah.
But anyway, Dalton. Dalton doesn't have a first name or a last name. He's just Dalton. What do you think about that?
I feel like I've done some research on this before, and somebody found out that his name is mentioned, like a last name is mentioned once or a first name. Have you ever heard this conspiracy theory before?
That's not true. So skipping over who Dalton is as a man, not as only is he ripped. But he's got a philosophy degree from NYU.
Right.
Maybe that's why he doesn't go by a bouncer. He goes by a cooler. Like he's got special wisdom how to break up fights at bars.
Right. The movie really does have an all-star cast, don't you think?
The movie does have an all-star cast. Terry Funk's in it, which is pretty darn cool.
I mean, Sam Elliott's one of my favorites.
Sam Elliott has never been in a bad movie.
Ben Gazzara is awesome as Brad Wesley.
Brad Wesley is one of the better villains, but we'll get to that later. Same with Wade Garrett. There's a lot of things to talk about with Wade Garrett. Mm-hmm.
How do you measure up Roadhouse with something like Cobra or like Commando?
Well, that's the thing. It's its own movie. It's its own original movie. It's got its original lines. I mean, let's not forget the guy who directed it. His name is Rowdy.
Yeah.
It is a special one-of-a-kind deal. So anyway, you know, Dalton gets called out from another bar to Jasper, Missouri, to a bar called the Double Deuce.
Yep.
And anybody who knows me, they know my dad's name is Deuce. So I had that special connection, you know, Jasper, Missouri, my dad's name is Deuce. And however they took him away from his current gig in New York, he somehow drove to Jasper, Missouri. And he drove in a Mercedes, but for reasons that we don't know, he immediately bought that beater and hid the Mercedes in the barn. Why did he do that? I don't know.
Well, I have a theory.
Okay.
I think he knew that he was going to get fucked with all the time when he first started, so he bought a beater because he knew they were going to destroy it.
Well, he drove halfway across the country to fight a bunch of drunk rednecks. You know, so I mean, you don't just drive across country to do that and show up in a Mercedes.
Can I interrupt you for a second? And
sure.
So your lake house that you have a cabin at, the town is called Galmy, right?
Yes.
And isn't there a bar there that's kind of Roadhouse reminiscent called the Mule Lip?
Yes.
And I've been there once. Is it still there?
No. It's not still there. Yeah, it is just completely condemned. And but we're thinking about opening back up and calling it the Double Deuce. I'm trying to get my dad to buy it.
Well, so now is it just an empty building?
Yeah, it's just empty. There's like a tree growing in the middle of it. I don't know. You know, it's really weird.
Because the night we went there, it had a huge Confederate flag painted on the floor, right?
Well, yeah. And not only, you know, were beer bottles flying through the air, verbal arguments were turning into knife fights, the snap of a finger. I mean, man, and of course, there's not a single cop in the whole town. So it has a lot to do, you know, it has a lot in common with the Double Deuce. So, you know, eventually Dalton shows up and he goes, you know, full blast, you know, to the honor of the bar owner who recruited him. You know, everybody wanted Wade Garrett, but, you know, Wade Garrett is the best.
Yeah.
But, you know, they ended up settling for Dalton and he showed up and he worked his magic and, you know, it was just, that's kind of the magic of the movie.
Do you remember, there's some other good cast members, too. What's his name? The guy, the bartender who he fires is John Doe from that punk band X.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. And why?
When he first gets coffee, huh?
And why does he fire?
He gets fired for skimming money out of the register.
Dirtbag.
And then Swayze goes, that's when Terry Funk gets fired. And he goes, what the hell am I supposed to do? And Swayze goes, there's always barber college.
Absolutely. I mean, that's a classic scene. I mean, right when we're introduced to the Double Deuce, when he walks in there, there's fights going on.
Yeah.
And to me, as a kid, when you're seeing that in, you know, the fifth grade and you're witnessing that, you just can't wait to turn 21. And for me, I couldn't wait to go down to Jasper.
Now, you know, they actually, even though it takes place in Missouri, they filmed it out in California. And I was doing a little research about it. And unfortunately, they built the actual Double Deuce bar just for the movie and then tore it down.
That's what I found out when I showed up to Jasper when I was 16 years old. I pulled in and I was like, where can you tell me what the Double Deuce is? They're like, what? And this is a place called Sharon's Family Restaurant. It's probably still there. It's the only place to get a bite to eat in Jasper. And I walked in, I was like, where's the Double Deuce? They're like, what are you talking about? I go, the bar. They're like, it's Jasper's Tavern. I'm like, no. I'm looking for the Double Deuce. Maybe you've heard of Dalton? They're like, no. You know, it was really disappointing.
Didn't you guys, like, always call one of the hotels in Las Vegas to ask about the Cutler Suite from Over the Top?
Yeah, the old Hilton. The Hilton. If you call up there and you're like, yeah, I'd like to make a reservation for the Cutler Suite, they'll be like, oh, God, not you again. I'm like, yeah, it's me.
What do you think of Kelly Lynch in Roadhouse?
Well, there's a lot to talk about with Kelly Lynch. I mean, she's a doctor, and, you know. Well, I mean, we're kind of jumping around here. Let's just kind of cruise through the movie here, you know, like.
Yeah.
The car that I always wanted that he pulled up in was that 64 Buick Riviera, which is pretty goddamn cool, you know. That's the one he switched out for the Mercedes, you know.
The brown one?
Yeah, he's always peeling out in it. Like, he just can't, ease the gas. You know, he has to rip out of it. I mean, there's no explanation in the whole movie, you know, why he does that, which is what we were talking about. And when he first walks in, another mind-blowing moment of me was when the Jeff Healey band is playing. We can talk about Jeff Healey now. We can talk about him later.
Let's talk about him now.
He is one of my favorite blues singers of all time. And just recently, a couple weeks ago, me and Dubinsky went down to the lake, and we listened to Jeff Healey all weekend.
He died kind of recently, right?
I think 2009.
Oh, it was that long ago? Damn.
Yeah, he had some kind of cancer. He was one of the best. He played with the best. You know, you can look him up on YouTube. You know, there's something to be said about blind blues players. You know, there's a lot of them.
Remember, he had a hit, that Angel Eyes. Was that the name of the song?
Angel Eyes was a hit, but in my world, every song is a hit. Just the main song, When the Night Comes Falling from the Sky, that's a Bob Dylan cover, and it's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, that's awesome. When Dalton first gets there, they're playing behind that chicken wire because people are always throwing beers at him.
Yeah, because the patrons at the bar throw beer bottles at him, like, for no reason whatsoever. And the beer splashes on him, but Jeff Healey doesn't care. He just keeps playing.
See, I never got to see it in the theater because my sister worked at Oak Park Plaza, and of course, my brother and I were really excited about the trailer, but my sister told my mom that it was disgusting, so we had to wait till it was on HBO or something like that and tape it.
Was disgusting, right? You know, when he first walks in the bar too, that woman takes that wad of cash out of her boobs to pay the waitress for drugs.
Yeah.
I was like elbowing, like, dad, like, what does that mean? He's like, look at them hooters. I'm like, yeah.
You learned some very valuable lessons from him.
Yeah. Well, I mean, and then, you know, the woman sits there and she orders a, can I get a vodka on the rocks? You know, and the guy who's standing there goes, hey, baby, why don't you and me go nipple to nipple?
No, he goes, hey, vodka rocks. How about you and me go nipple to nipple?
Hey, vodka rocks. What do you say you and me get nipple to nipple?
Yeah. And then it was one of the first fights that broke out. I was like, that is the kind of lines that I need to start using on these fifth grade girls. Okay, what do you think about when the guy offers the other guy $20 to kiss his girlfriend's boobs?
That's another one of the best scenes.
He says right here, right now. And then the guy, for no reason, just starts fondling him. Doesn't even try and kiss him, you know? And then when the guy, you know, is like, $20, aren't you going to kiss him? And the guy's like, hey, you know, I ain't going to kiss him. And he's like, why not? Because I ain't got $20. And
then while he's feeling him.
Yep, and that's when another huge fight breaks out. I can remember me and Larry Flaxbeard and a couple other people in fifth grade sitting at our lunch tables, like, talking about that scene all, like, every day for months. One of the things that's weird is that there's no cops in the movie until the very end, you know? All this shit that goes down. I mean, you would think that the police would be called, you know? Thousands of dollars in damage to the bar every night, and the cops never show up. All the attempted murder charges that could be filed, you know?
That's true. I never thought about that. You don't see any cops till the very, very end.
No, I mean, the first 15 minutes of the movie couldn't be any stronger. I mean, it's just, like, as intense as it gets.
True.
You know, so, you know, the villain of the film is Brad Wesley. Is he a villain?
My grandfather looks like an important man. He was an asshole.
I mean, when he was weaving back and forth driving down the two-lane road for no reason.
Yeah.
You know, like, who does that? You know,
well, he, you know, nobody in that town was going to step up to him.
Well, he caused a lot of damage and he got away with everything. And he has his chopper, you know, that he flies around in. I mean, what kind of industries does he own? If he doesn't own the Double Deuce, what else does he own? He didn't own the car dealership that he trashed. He didn't own the hardware store that he burned down and put, you know, bombed at Red. I mean, what does he own to where everybody thought he owned the town?
Maybe he made his money elsewhere and then actually no, they talk about that he owns liquor because when they try to deliver that liquor shipment to the Double Deuce and those guys like stop him and then that causes another big fight.
Yeah, we'll get to that later because that's when the mind-blowing scene when Wade Garrett shows up.
Yeah,
let's talk, get back to Dalton real fast. You know, what about when the after he's done kicking ass at the bar and then the next thing you know he's out by the river practicing his yoga and Tai Chi with the shirt off, you know, and like just in complete total, you know, meditation mode. That lets you know that he's not just some bouncer, he's a cooler. What do you think about that, Matt?
I think you're right that I've never heard anybody referred to as a cooler before or after that film.
Well, I mean, you know, Wade Garrett, you know, in the movie, it, you know, as Dalton's cooler mentor is, you know, a kind of sort of, you know, tries to steal his girlfriend later in the movie, you know, and Swayze is kind of cool about that. Why?
Wait, you think he tries to steal Kelly Lynch? But,
yeah, you know, when they're in the bar and the diner, and it's like they've been up all night.
And they dance.
Yeah, and they dance. What's that, you know, about?
He is a little forward in that scene.
Well, he shows his pubes.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Yeah, I mean, I don't care, you know, what the deal is. If my best friend shows his pubes to my girlfriend, there could be a Roadhouse-style fight.
Speaking of girls, are you what's going on with your dating situation? Are you doing online dating? What's going on?
Well, tell you the truth, I just dumped my girlfriend about an hour ago. And since we've been doing this podcast... She has been texting my phone nonstop.
Wait, why'd you do it tonight?
because the weekend's coming up and, you know, been working for the weekend, lover boy style.
What are you going to do this weekend, do you think?
Well, I think I'm going down to the lake and I'll go right through Jasper, Missouri and stop off at Jasper Tavern and have a drink, you know.
So is there there's no bar in Galmy anymore that you can go there drink at?
No. We have three brand new bars. America's great again. Things are booming down in Galmy.
What are the bars like there now?
Well, you know, there's one bar called Cheryl's Corner Bar. It just went up. It's on this, like, dead man's curve. And I refuse to go in there because I'm like, dude, somebody is going to get killed coming off, you know, leaving the parking lot of this bar. Because it's right on this dead man's curve. Sure as shit, Matt. Last Saturday night, some guy got killed at 2:30 in the morning leaving Cheryl's Corner Bar.
Damn. So, what are the other places like?
The other place is the Old Hickory Bar and Grill. It's great. I take the golf cart up there. It's fucking awesome. And then you got the Marina Bar. I mean, it's just exploding down upon the terre.
I've only been once, and that was 2005.
When I was in Jasper, they were like, don't you pay attention to that movie? I'm like, what for? It's like, didn't you notice mountains in the background? I'm like, mountains? Of course there's large mountains in the background. But what does that have to do with anything? They're like, well, you notice any huge-ass mountains, you know, here? I was like, no. Yeah.
Do you think they get that a lot, or you think you're the only person who comes and bothers them about –
They told me I'm the only person that comes and bothers them about it.
keep going with the Roadhouse.
When I was a little kid, you know, there's nothing more exciting than an explosion. And I love that any time in Roadhouse, whenever anything catches fire, there's a huge explosion. You know, like, it's just awesome. And that's what I love about action flicks.
Is it Red's Hardware Store? Is that what it was?
Yeah.
Excuse me.
You know, and what's up with Wesley's henchmen, you know? Like, Wesley's just got, like, kind of like Cutler, just has a team of people that are only there, like, some kind of personal bodyguards, you know, people that just work for him and Nobody really knows what they do. I mean, what kind of salary do they make? Especially the main bad guy, you know? Like, Jimmy. I mean, Jimmy. What does Jimmy do for a living? You know? Well, I don't know.
At one point, does he say that is he like Brad Wesley's nephew or something? Are they related?
I don't know, but you remember the scene when he uses the pool stick and just starts mowing down the bouncers with it?
That's one of the best scenes in the whole movie.
Just picks that guy up, you know, like a pole vaulter, and shoots him right into the screen. Why, you know, why Jeff Healey's playing Hoochie Coochie Mama?
Yeah, you're right.
You know? And then this other guy, you know, goes into the car dealership with a monster truck and just drives right through it. I mean, let's think about that. A guy destroys a whole car dealership by driving a monster truck through it. For what?
Brad Wesley had to prove a point.
Well, I mean, that obviously caused hundreds of thousands of dollars, and it completely deserved a police response. But still, they don't show.
You're right.
You know, and they kind of explain the reason they don't show by like, well, Wesley owns the police. He's got them in his pocket. But man, how much money you got to pay the Jasper PD not to completely ignore hundreds of thousands of dollars in property damage?
Well, and they did it in front of a crowd on like a Saturday afternoon at like noon.
I mean, the district attorney could at least charge them with dozens of attempted murders. I mean, there were hundreds of witnesses.
True.
You know,
when's the last time you watched Roadhouse?
Probably last weekend.
When's the last time you saw Cobra?
Yesterday. So Dalton, you know, is he trying to save the town? You know, is he trying to be a hero? Is he trying to win Kelly Lynch? What do we know?
Well, he bangs her the first night.
I mean, and he doesn't just bang her. He makes love to her.
I mean, it's not the Otis Redding song.
It's not like he's banging her in the back, you know, room at the Double Deuce, like, but I'm on my break, which is another classic line.
I'm on my break, and then Dalton goes, stay on it.
Yes. Man, I fucking love that scene. But
wait, so you think that scene kind of moved you, the love scene?
You know, yeah, when you're a kid, you know, there's a difference between banging a girl in the janitor's closet and then making love to some Otis Redding, you know? Meanwhile, that pervert Brad Wesley's across the river watching the whole thing with his binoculars.
That's right.
Psycho. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, it's just completely, completely ridiculous, you know? But, like, there's another scene, too, that's kind of completely ridiculous. Like, when Wade Garrett finally shows up and he goes back there, and on the back, he's like, where's Dalton? And, you know, and then the girl bartender's like, I know you.
Yeah.
And he just kind of gives her the tip of the hat, you know, like, sure you do. Like, he's the ultra famous cooler. He's the best of the best, you know. And then this first iconic scene, he walks back and he just looks at Dalton getting his ass whipped and just laughs about it. You know, he's like, look at this, you know. And then the next thing you know, that guy turns around to him. And this is probably a very, very life-changing event for me. He goes to him, he's like, the guy turns to him, he's like, you want to fight? And Wade Garrett goes, well, sure as hell I ain't going to show you my dick.
Yeah.
Punches a guy right in the gut. I mean, that to me, who says that? Who gets away with that? I mean, how can you pull that line off? You know what I mean? Have you ever tried to pull that line off?
Of course not.
Well, I have.
What happened?
Well, let's just say I got thrown into a paddy wagon by the Fort Worth Police Department outside Billy Bob's.
Wait.
If anyone's listening to this, from Fort Worth, Texas, I mean, they know what Billy Bob's is.
Wait, what's Billy Bob's?
A bar that holds like 5,000 people.
Is it like a country bar?
When the night we were there, there was live bull riding going on. Willie Nelson was playing, and there was like 5,000 people in it, and it was completely out of control. And I was going through this magic phase, and I had this trick where I could.
I remember your magic phase.
I could throw, I was throwing fireballs out of my hand. And this bartender was like, you do that one more time, I'm going to kick your ass. I was like, all right. Threw another fireball. And I think Janko was there. I know Novel and the boys were there, but I think Janko was too. And the guy jumped out. He's like, that's right. Yeah, like, your ass is out of here. Do you want to fight? And I was like, well, I sure as hell ain't going to show you my dick. Next thing you know, I just got my ass whipped, you know, and these cops came in and drug me out and threw me in a paddy wagon. And luckily, Popcat, you know, our mentor, you know, our pops, was able to talk to the police out of letting me out of the paddy wagon.
Wait, who is this guy?
Papa Cat, Pops. Have I ever told you about him?
Did you work with him on the road?
Yeah.
I never heard about him.
Okay, well, let me just tell you real fast. Okay, Pops was a retired FedEx driver, you know, like 66 years old, and his grandson had some kind of rare cancer, and they didn't have the funds to be able to pay for this life-saving experimental surgery that no insurance companies would pay for. And so he decided that he'd go call, make some phone calls and find out who could get him a job on the road. And we did. He was driving one of our trucks for a NASCAR team. Well, anyway, he needed like $300,000, you know, to get little Timmy into the University of Tennessee at Knoxville to the hospital for the life-saving cancer, experimental cancer surgery. So anyway, he came out on the road with us, and every dollar he, you know, saved was going straight towards Timmy. Well, one day, we're at a gas station, and we all buy scratch-off tickets. Sure as shit, he scratches off the $500,000 winner, okay? And we're like, no way, Pops, no way. And we're like, yeah. He's like, oh, my God, you know, I can't believe it. I think I won. We're like, Pops, get in the car. We're fucking driving straight to Raleigh, North Carolina. So we drove there. He won the money. He got the check, and he got the cash. He sent it back home, and he saved his grandson's life. You know, it was like, it's the biggest miracle I've ever witnessed in my life. Like, who wins the lottery, right? So then we're like, Pops, like, are you still going to go on tour with us all year? He's like, yep, I made a commitment. I'm going to do it. And he turned out to be like our guardian angel. Like, we're all like in our, you know, 20s, just blacking out every night, completely in control, being out of control. But every time we got in trouble, like me getting thrown in a paddy wagon in Fort Worth outside Billy Bob's, he could go and talk to the police into getting me out of the paddy wagon. I remember when I got out, everybody was like, you need to get in the car and go. And he went to Denny's and Janko was there. At the end of the year, Pops killed over and had a heart attack and died.
Really?
Yeah, yeah.
Damn, that's sad.
Every year we have the Larry Barber Memorial Golf Tournament in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Is that where he lived?
Nope. It's just where we go.
And that was his name, Larry Barber?
Uh-huh.
Damn. Were you there when he keeled over?
Nope.
All right.
Yeah, that's a little sidetracked story there, but it's true.
Damn. Well, that's a good story.
Yes. I mean, I gave you the cliff notes, but it's a good one. But anyway, yeah, the lesson to be learned, nobody can just tell somebody that. Before, like, if somebody asks you if you want to fight, you got to have some real fucking fighting skills to say, well, I sure as hell ain't going to show you my dick. Because Wade Garrett didn't even have any karate moves, you know, like Dalton did. You know, like, Wade Garrett just an old school puncher.
Yeah.
But a puncher always has a chance.
And so that night in Fort Worth, you got it handed to you.
Yeah, I got my ass whipped pretty bad.
All right, man. Continue.
But yeah, just completely classic scene there, you know. And then Dalton, after Wade Garrett kicks everybody's ass with the old school, you know, moves, but he's wearing cowboy boots, so you know his kicks count. You know, that's just an amazing thing, and they became great friends, you know. Pretty awesome. And that's also when Jimmy gets a look at Wade Garrett. And, you know, Jimmy is not a good guy.
Jimmy's a scary dude.
Well, we all know what happened to him, you know. He tried to go over there and blow up Red, or not Red's house, but what was the old man that Dalton rented his farmhouse
for? Oh, shit. I don't know if I remember.
I mean, let's not bullshit. You know, I got a place down in the Ozarks. You live in a barn and you got your windows open, it's going to be full of locusts, cicadas, mosquitoes. I mean, now we got this oak mite invasion that everybody's all shitting their shorts on. He's renting a place for that. What was he paying for it? Like $50 a month?
Yeah, something super cheap.
I mean, that's cheap, but I mean, not to have oak mites dropping in your shit while you're trying to sleep, you know?
True.
Fuck that. I mean, the humidity's terrible in the summertime.
In Missouri, yeah.
Yeah.
What was that guy's name?
God damn it. I don't know.
Was Emmett.
Emmett. I'm about 18 Heineken's in here.
So you live by yourself now, right?
Yes.
What does your apartment look like? Does it? What do you have, like, decorating the walls and stuff?
Well, there's a beautiful roadhouse print hanging up.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Next to the First Blood print, next to the Rocky IV print, next to the Goonies print, next to the Point Break print, next to the Rambo 2 print.
So you get all the, like, nice prints from Mondo and stuff like that.
Yeah, I got a pretty good collection.
Do you get them framed, obviously?
Yeah, I'm just talking about the framed ones right now. I also got an amazing Cobra print that I bought from the 1988 gallery out in San Francisco. I just got it framed, and I'm just sitting here holding it, just staring at it. It's so cool. Like, I don't know what to do.
I mean, if you bring a girl over to your apartment and she sees, like, a lot of Stallone and, you know, that kind of stuff, do they ever ask what, like, what's the deal?
Well, I just tell them, I'm like, look, babe, I'm an iron worker. You know, I bust my ass all day. When I come home, I got to see things I like. I got to see, you know, I got to be around cool shit. So I also have 5 guitars mounted on my wall, too.
Mm-hmm.
That kind of makes up for it.
Now, have you been to any good shows lately?
Been to a lot of good shows lately.
Okay.
You want to hear them?
Yeah.
Okay, so I went and saw Face to Face by myself at the Bottleneck recently.
How was that?
Amazing set list. Just amazing. I went to go see Iron Maiden at the Sprint Center. I will never go see Iron Maiden again. I went from being a fan to I hate their guts.
Why?
They just played the worst set of all time. I hate them. I hate them. I hate them.
Okay.
Not only do I not like Iron Maiden anymore, after being such a fan growing up all my life. I mean, when the Maiden Unclosed run with the Hills and they don't play their hits and they play their whole brand new album, that's the same way I saw them a few years back, and I can't handle them anymore. So that show sucked. And the AC went out at the Sprint Center, so it was 100 degrees inside.
Ugh.
It was awful. I went and saw Echo and the Bunnymen recently. And again, amazing set list, lifetime achievement, cross it off. I was in the front row singing every word to every song. Amazing show.
Okay.
It's a dream of mine to see them for a long time. And man, it came true. And they scored big time. I brought my Ocean Rain album to get autographed, but I didn't have a chance to meet them. Yeah. I went and I saw Slayer by myself last week out at Sandstone. Amazing, again, amazing set list. Couldn't have been better. Loved it. Loved the whole thing.
Do you like their latest album?
From what I heard, I've listened to their latest album a few times, but what I heard live was absolutely amazing.
Who did they play with?
Lamb of God.
What do you think of them?
They were cool. I mean, I'll always be a metal fan, so seeing, you know, the latest and greatest of metal, I mean, Lamb of God tore it up. I don't listen to much of their music, but, man, I sure appreciate a good heavy metal show. You know what I mean? So that was pretty awesome. But, you know, Slayer, they're like one of the greatest bands of all time. Where were we? Jimmy's running down the road after blowing up Emmett's house.
Yeah.
Okay. They have the epic scene on the riverbank. And, you know, what happens? Kelly Lynch is on her way trying to, you know, get there before something bad happens. But, you know, what does he do? He goes for the old-fashioned throat grab, you know.
She should have just minded her own business.
She should have. I mean, you know, Dalton goes for the throat grab, rips his throat out.
But also, you got to remember Jimmy's classic line during the fight.
I fuck guys like you in prison.
Yeah.
I mean, who says that?
Jimmy.
Yeah, can you imagine somebody saying that to you?
It's been a little while.
So, you know, Dalton, you know, seeks revenge. So Dalton gets back, you know, after he finds out that they killed Jimmy. You know, everybody finds that he kills Jimmy. And he goes back to the Double Deuce to find somebody stabbed Wade Garrett in the heart with a stiletto.
And left him on the bar.
Yeah, I mean, what a way to die and leave him for your friend. I mean, that's pure murder, don't you think?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it's kind of a bad way to go. So what does Dalton do? He rigs his Mercedes up. You know, and of course there's a bad guy, you know, a group of bad guys waiting for him back at Wesley's house. And the bad guys, of course, you know, he puts the brick on the gas pedal, sends the Mercedes into his house, kind of like what, you know, Hawks did at, you know, the Cullors Mansion, you know, out in L.A.
Yeah.
You know, complete vandalism, uncalled for. Of course, the cops were never called, you know. And, you know, they shoot the car a couple times and it explodes in a ball of fire. Pretty red, right?
Well, that guy does it with the shotgun when it kind of hits that ramp, sort of.
Yeah, and goes in the air. Maybe hits it in the gas tank and explodes.
Right.
I mean, obviously, you know, Dalton jumped out of the car before it exploded. Pretty much. And then, you know, he gets in that epic scene where Dalton actually has to fight Wesley. The man that's much older than him has no fighting skills like compared to Jimmy.
Yeah.
You know, and even though, and what's he using? He's using that patented, you know, he's using those fireplace tools or a sword, something like that. And he starts beating Dalton.
Yeah, that always kind of, I always thought that was a little weird.
It was weird. I mean, it's like, come on, Dalton. After all this, you know, you're getting your ass whipped, you know, by Wesley, of all things.
Brad Wesley.
I mean, come on. You know, he's like, come on, Dalton. And he's saying the most fucked up things to him, too, you know? I mean, he's already killed all of his men, murdered them. He's hitting them with fireplace tools, you know? And the guy, I mean, this is the guy that just killed his best friend, is one of those evil men in America. You know, but anyway, when he does decide to pin Wesley, he goes for the throat grab again, like he's going to give it to him. But he doesn't do it.
Right. He holds off.
He holds off. And, you know, of course, then, you know, meanwhile, you got Tinker gets attacked by a polar bear. Tinker's got a good full 15 seconds to get out of the way while the polar bear is getting ready to fight him. But no, Tinker just screams like a bitch. He shoots the bear as if it's going to stop it, you know. And then, for the first time in the whole movie, the cops show up.
Right.
And then, as a scene straight out of another Missouri town called, come on, Matt, you name it.
Oh, it's, I was going to bring this up earlier. It's from Skidmore.
Yeah. Just like Skidmore, Missouri, Ken McElroy, if anybody doesn't know about this, which is Rut House loosely based on that? Absolutely not. But there is a coincidence.
There's a couple parts they stole.
There's a couple parts they stole, you know, where the cops finally get there and they're like, hey, who shot Brad Wesley with shotguns right and left? You see anything? You see anything? Nobody saw anything. And then the Jeff Haley song of the night comes falling from the sky comes in and everything's good.
Now, what do you think happened afterwards?
Well, that's the thing. I mean, the cops walk around, you know, Wesley's house. And it's just scattered with bloody corpses, you know. Somehow the FBI never gets involved, which I never understood. But, you know, it's just unbelievable what would have happened. Would Kelly Lynch wanted to go off with Dalton after he murdered all those people? You know, I don't know.
Did you ever see the sequel that came out in, like, 2006? I did not.
Never saw it.
It would have been cool if they had made a prequel while Swayze was still alive and, like, younger.
Yeah.
I would have liked to have seen the origin story of him and Wade Garrett.
Easily. I mean, Wade Garrett, you know, I mean, when him and Dalton have disagreements, you know, about whether they should leave the town, you know, like, those things, that's classic, you know. They got some maniac rich dude trying to kill him. They both have a reason to leave. You know, Dalton is regularly banging you know, the guy, the woman that Wesley always wanted. I mean,
they were together. That's the thing I forgot to bring up earlier too, is that she talks about how they were together before.
What's the one line that, you know, when they get in an argument, two best friends, Wade Garrett says, you know, you're right. I ought to stop telling you what to do. Maybe you ought to kick your ass. Yeah. And that's the way they communicate. Fight terms only, you know?
Well, that kind of makes you think, though, about Kelly Lynch, that she might have had a screw loose if she had been with Brad Wesley before.
Well, yeah. I mean, Wesley wants to be with him. And then Garrett, you know, who kind of wants to bang her, you know, he wants to leave the town, you know?
He should have left before he got stabbed.
He should have, you know? Like, you know, Dalton basically is a pacifist with a philosophy degree, but yet he's ripping people's throats out. You know?
That's right.
You know, like another Garrett thing. Remember when he says, when a man sticks a gun in your face, you got two choices. You can die or you can kill the motherfucker.
Yeah.
That's what he tries to talk to, you know, about, because that's what happened. You know, everybody finds out, you know, Wesley finds out that Dalton ripped the guy's throat out. You know, and that's where the whole throat grabbing thing started.
Right. Well, you know, yeah, because Wesley brings it up.
Well, Garrett drops that line early in the movie.
But where did it happen? Don't they talk about that it happened in a certain place?
Yeah.
What is it? Do you remember?
I think it happened outside of the bar.
Doesn't he say something that happened in, and they say a specific city?
I don't know what city the original throat grab originated from. I mean, his whole backstory of having the philosophy degree, you know, exists solely so he can say things like pain don't hurt, because it has a meaning, you know, there's purpose to it. What about when he's fighting Brad Wesley and he says, I see you found my trophy room, Dalton. The only thing missing is your ass. I mean, who would say something like that?
Now I'm really annoyed because I can't find the where he originally killed somebody with the throat pull.
Well, remember when Dalton's at the bar and he says, you're too stupid to have a good time, you know, and then the fight breaks out?
Yeah.
I mean, that's Roadhouse in a nutshell, you know? You're too stupid to have a good time. It makes no sense whatsoever, but, you know, Swayze's got the appeal of a badass, and, you know, an ass-kicking ability, and somehow he just makes it work.
I like that part. I'm looking over some of the quotes, and you know that part where the guys apologize on the back, like, loading dock, or maybe it's back at the house, and they're all like, I'm really sorry to Brad Wesley, and he believes everybody but that big O'Connor guy, and he beats his ass in front of everybody.
Oh, yeah. That's kind of like the icing on the cake.
That's a good part.
And then
I found the quote. You ready for this?
Yeah, yeah.
Dalton, I have a cousin in Memphis, tells me you killed a man down there, tells me you said it was self-defense at the trial, but you and I know that isn't so, don't we?
Well, there you go.
Memphis.
Well, you know, Memphis, if you're going to kill someone in the United States, Memphis is a pretty good place to do it.
I've never been there.
Well, I don't know what to tell you. We'll just leave it at that. The best line in the movie, though, and probably the most famous one, is when Dalton is lecturing all the boys and, you know, at the bar when he first takes over and says, I want you to be nice. Mm-hmm. Until it's time not to be nice.
If somebody gets in your face and calls you a cocksucker, I want you to be nice.
Okay.
Ask him to walk, but be nice. If he won't walk, walk him, but be nice. If you can't walk him, one of the others will help you. And you'll both be nice. I want you to remember that it's a job. It's nothing personal.
Uh-huh. Being called a cocksucker isn't personal?
No. It's two nouns combined to elicit a prescribed response.
I wonder if somebody calls my mama a whore.
Is she? I want you to be nice until it's time to not be nice.
I mean, that sums everything up.
Some of those people should not have been working there as bouncers.
Oh, yeah, he's that one dude. He's like, well, what if someone calls my mama a whore? And he goes,
is she?
Is she? You know, I mean, it's just, that's Dalton. I mean, he's smarter than everybody else.
Well, do you have any final thoughts about Roadhouse?
Well, it's a no-brainer that Roadhouse is one of the greatest movies ever made. Like a religious experience, especially if you're from the state of Missouri and, you know, you're aware of that. People tell me that there's a new show called Ozarks or something like that I need to watch on Netflix. But I don't have Netflix. I don't have cable. I don't watch TV. You know, I only watch movies. But I'm like, Ozarks, well, have you seen Roadhouse? Everybody's like, of course I've seen Roadhouse. And that just kind of brings it all together, you know. Roadhouse is an American movie classic. There's other movies that came out in 89, like movies like Driving Mrs. Daisy, Dead Poet Society, My Left Foot, you know, shit like that. But out of all those movies that won all the Oscars and did all that shit, what's the movie they can always see on AMC, TNT, TBS, USA, every week that's on multiple times? It's Roadhouse. You know, that is the movie that's going to stand the test of time.
Do you have any other movies that you want to break down and discuss in future episodes that we haven't done yet that you think we need to?
Well, of course. You know, of course. I mean, we could always do Rambo 3. I watched Rambo 3 the other day and came up with a whole new assessment of Troutman. You know, I mean, honestly, when Rambo comes out of the cave, and Troutman had broken the number one rule in the army, and that's never leave a fallen comrade. Do you remember this scene? And no. He runs. Yeah. By the time Rambo comes out of the cave, Troutman had already run, like, seriously, 2 miles away from the cave hole. And Rambo's stuck there and gets lifted out of the cave by the, you know, by the throat, by the guy who's also a wrestler, an arm wrestling over the top, in case you're into those movies. Mm-hmm. But Rambo has to fight the guy. And the whole scene, Troutman's like running, trying to get there, trying to give him backup. And Rambo ends up pulling a grenade on the guy's shirt and kicking him into the hole, and he explodes. But the whole time I'm like, Troutman, why weren't you there to help your fallen comrade get out of the hole? Instead, that Russian just shows up, and, you know, he could have killed John. So, I mean, there's a lot to talk about Troutman and his failure. Plus, Troutman, the way he got caught by the Russians in Afghanistan at the beginning of the movie, didn't even put up a fight. So, you know,
I can't remember the last time I've seen 2 and 3. I mean, I've seen the First Blood a ton, but I really don't even really remember 2 and 3.
Man, I watched Rambo 3 last Sunday for probably the 5,000th time. You know? And I'm just saying that, like, I'm starting to take my notes down for a talk about Troutman's behavior in Rambo 3.
Well, it's
unacceptable.
I will watch the Rambo movies in order, and then we can do another one where we discuss that. Is that cool?
Oh, yeah, that's fine.
Did you like that last one that was just called Rambo, I think?
It's amazing.
It was good. I saw it in the theater.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you, Ricky. I hope that your wisdom about Roadhouse has influenced some people to maybe go back and watch a movie with a fresh pair of eyes. You think so?
Yeah, I think that anybody who needs a good laugh or hasn't seen it or wants to hear some good music by Jeff Healey, that they can all go back and watch Roadhouse and see kind of what America's all about.
All right, man. Well, we will talk soon then.
All right. Thank you for having me on the show today, Matt, and I look forward to our next podcast.
Oh, damn.
Hey, vodka rocks. Where you say you and me get nipple to nipples.